Hello and welcome to the BGCP Dissimil Podcast, the official podcast for the Big Glasgow Comic Page, where we talk about the latest comics, movies, television, and other pieces of nerd culture. I am your host for this episode, Massimo Costelli, and today I am joined by the lovely Daniel Boyd.
It's good to have you back, Massimo. No, because I miss you, but just because it means I don't need hosts. So.
Exactly, yeah. You just don't need to talk with a rough voice in the morning after doing some questionable things.
I was going
to
say, I think you can actually kind of judge what time we're recording based on what I'm drinking. Like,
I mean, and also what I look like as well.
With a hair and all.
The hair is really...
If it's coffee, you know, it's about 12. If it's whiskey, you know, it's about 8 o'clock.
Like, exactly. And on this episode as well, I'm also joined by the fantastic Chrissy.
Thank you. I'm glad to have my Italian brethren back on. I felt just by myself.
You felt lost in the world.
I don't have anybody here. I don't have my family members. You're not Italian, Danny.
The Italian connection. It's the Italian connection. No. So on this episode, we are going to be talking about great or good villains and otherwise terrible films. And as always, we'll kind of go through the recap of other kind of news of the week, including the PlayStation Showcase, our thoughts on Shang-Chi, and also the Matrix, I believe it's, what's the new name of the film? Resurrections?
That's the one.
I was going to say Revolutions, but that one came a bit 20 years ago. that'll be what we'll talk about on this episode. So I guess we should just dive right into it, and off the top, what are you guys thinking of some great villains in really bad movies?
Can I go first?
Go for it.
Sam Rockwell is creamy the crop, man. What an actor. He's incredible in so many different shows and movies, and I love that guy.
Oscar-worthy man.
Especially, Three Billboards Outside Ebbing, he won his Oscar for it. He was astonishing in that film.
Moon's pretty good.
Across the board, he's brilliant in Moon. He's brilliant in... Everything he's in, he's always a highlight, I think.
Green Mile.
Even if the movie's terrible, you always go, but Sam Rockwell was great. Do you know what I mean? It's never his fault that movie's bad, which is the topic for today. Yeah. And let's not mess about and beat around the bush. Iron Man 2 is a pretty bad film.
Yeah.
I kind of feel... My one kind of gripe with MCU, and it's hard to gripe because it's been so good for so long, and it's gave us everything we wanted in terms of superhero movies and the big screen and blockbusters and blah, blah, blah. But they've wasted some actors and some characters through the years, I feel, that could have potential to have been more. Whether it's like, I mean, they've kind of, we will get to Shang-Chi and the Mandalorian and stuff, but they kind of fluffed that and then had to fix it. So things like that have happened over the years in the MCU, and I feel like Justin Hammer's kind of one of them. Like, at the end of Iron Man 2, he gets arrested, and then we just never see him again. It's like, we should be in every film.
I hate to do this to you, Dan. We actually do see him again. And the All Hail the King one-shot that came out. It's canon. It counts. It's canon. I got the Shang-Chi. It's canon.
I haven't even watched the one-shots, mate, because I know.
No.
And I'm a pretty heavy geek.
All Hail the King is actually canon now. So he did actually appear in that. Also, The Mandalorian is an interesting appearance in a Marvel film.
I think, the whole point, is he not supposed to be one of the biggest weapons with Tony?
Yeah.
Even Tony's supposed to be better.
So,
he never mentioned at all.
People think he's going to appear in Armor Wars alongside Don Cheadle's Rhodey, which I think would be fantastic because he would make sense as being a primary antagonist in a post-Iron Man world where the US is out to get fucking all of Iron Man's technology.
Mm-hmm.
Like, think about it. Who would be a better... A better villain than the guy who got put into prison has now been let out to be a subcontractor for the government to basically take all of these technologies and turn them into US military projects, in my opinion. However, that could be complete fluff. But no, Sam Rockwell as Justin Hammer is a great shout as well. Because, I mean, that film especially with like fucking playing aside Mickey Rourke's Whiplash and my bird.
I want my bird.
You know, and other than this few standout film bits in that film, such as, you know, the suitcase scene, which is
good suit.
Still fucking great suit. And that kind of race seems fantastic as well. But then
overall,
overall,
I'm at his pay balls.
Perhaps due to various studio meddlings.
Well,
John Favreau is to be.
That's why I made Jeff, right?
apparently, it was.
But this is going to be difficult. But see Iron Man 3, it didn't really do any better. Do you disagree?
So that
it just went downhill.
I think Iron Man 3 is a better film than 2, but
I don't really have a preference.
Only because I like some aspects of Shane Black's work.
Iron Man 3 was the first time I think that it was Shane Black isn't amazing at everything. Iron Man 3 was the first kind of chink in Shane Black's armour. Let's not talk about the Predator movie that he made. but that was the first kind of warning sign for that kind of stuff. Do you know what I mean? It was this isn't great.
I just think that Iron Man 3 is a slightly more competent film.
I love The Nice Guys, and I love Kiss Kiss Bang Bang, and I love Shane Black stuff, but I can't, mate.
Maybe just stick to the genre you're good at rather than going to sci-fi.
And why does everything need to be a Christmas movie?
I know, that's
okay. He loves Christmas. He's a Christmas guy. I
distinctly remember Iron Man 3 coming out in the summer. It was July, and I'm why is this a Christmas film?
Why?
You pure annoyed me. if No Way Home's a Christmas film, fine, because it's coming out in December. But it's not. It's not a Christmas film. So what's the point, mate? that annoys me.
Well, moving swiftly on, Chrissy, you said beforehand you had one.
This might be controversial, but remember Lucifer and Constantine?
Yeah.
You only saw a good wee minute of him, the last section of the film.
It was Peter Stormare, right?
And he stole the fucking show.
Okay.
And you're wow.
Yeah.
The whole movie,
The depiction of that villain in that film is the best thing about that film.
Aye. I think the movie's a bit shit. Keanu Reeves, I love the guy. But man, a bit toned. Especially in those years.
I was in a low Keanu era, I think.
Aye,
it was between the initial Keanu boom for Point Break and stuff, and before his kind of resurrection with John Wick, his resurgence. It was kind of in between those.
Plus, it actually kind of really worked with the comics Lucifer. He was in a suit. You know, every time he saw Lucifer, he was either fucking horns and red face.
Mm-hmm.
This one, he's properly skirted out. He's no got shoes on, which is I kind of like.
Yeah, sure.
I was he's just kind of walking about with black feet. On you go, son. But yeah, I think he was kind of threatening in a kind of shitty movie.
I mean, Peter Stormare is a fucking fantastic actor.
He is. He's amazing in Fargo. But the thing about this depiction, I think it was. The Constantine film wasn't great, but all the kind of makeup and the subtleties and the designs, I thought, was probably the best thing about that film. As you're saying, Chrissy, it wasn't bright red, big horns, big tail, and a fork, being he was more cunning and kind of methodical, and more Neil Gaiman, kind of depiction of Satan, rather than your kind of more general kind of. I don't know, other Constantine writers.
Yeah.
He was very kind of inspired by that version. He was more laid back, and he wasn't as in your face, but you always get the feeling that he was one step ahead of everybody else. And then he had I think they say his mouth was black, and there's a thing for the Bible or whatever, mythology, saying that the devil, because he tells lies, his mouth is black. And wee kind of subtle callbacks that a lot of people probably didn't even notice.
I think that was probably the thing about the Constantine film, which I haven't seen in years, by the way. I think it gave it the good old college try when this, because this was a time when comic book movies weren't, not everyone was willing to take the risk on making it a straight-to-straight comic book adaption, you know? So it gave it the good old college try with studio meddling and interfering. And what the result was is not a very good film by any standards, but a film that shows how you don't make a superhero film or a anti-hero film or a horror weird DC-based film. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And then, I think it kind of, it's an experiment more than anything else.
And if you look at other movies from that era, kind of
horror, supernatural, kind of superheroish films like your Van Helsing's, Angelique, yeah. Extraordinary Gentleman. Yeah. It's the best of any of them.
Oh, yeah,
exactly.
Yeah,
it's the best of a bad bunch.
Yeah.
Speaking of the best of a bad bunch, my villain who is trapped in a terrible film, who may no longer be trapped in a terrible film, depending on how Spider-Man Far From Home goes, or No Way Home even, oh. is the Sandman. From Spider-Man 3.
Spider-Man 3 Sandman
is arguably one of the best parts of that film and is trapped in Spider-Man 3. Which forever trapped in it. Flint Marco is forever trapped. What's his name? I keep forgetting his name.
The Sandman
actor.
I'm blanking, man.
Thomas Hayden Church.
Thomas Hayden Church.
I was going to say Thomas Jane, but that's the Punisher. Thomas Hayden Church as the Sandman in Spider-Man 3 is a fantastic performance in a superhero film.
Yeah.
Especially when, you know, like, the previous outings of Spider-Man had actually given us complex, well, semi-complex villains, such as the Green Goblin, who I recently watched a bunch of the Weekly Planet stuff about Spider-Man, the original one. Yeah, he straight up gets stabbed in his dick.
And his balls.
Yeah. I'll be honest, I'm like, you really didn't think that one through. It's like, how did Mr. Osborn die? Well, he was stabbed through his testicles. We can remake him, but he'll have no testicles.
Dude, that's new depiction.
Kill me!
No, and then obviously you had Alfred Molina as Dr. Octopus, which I've rewatched Spider-Man 2 recently, and that film definitely still holds up.
Yeah,
I think that is fantastic. And he is a fantastic villain as well. But out of the best of a bad bunch of, you know, New Goblin, that terrible Venom, and even Spider-Man himself being a bad guy, the Sandman is arguably one of the better parts of that film because it's a complex villain, and it was something that the other two were sorely lacking.
I think it really touches in, like, some people think it's cheesy with this one, but like, when it touches that, like, he was the one that killed, like, he didn't want to kill Uncle Ben, and you're like, oh, that's just another layer, even though it's thrown in. You're like, oh, he's not a bad guy, he just needs money.
That was,
you know.
Do you want to know the reason that's the only good thing in that film? That's because that's what Sam Raimi wanted to do.
That's true.
Sam Raimi wanted to do Sandman, and the studio and the studio were like, do Venom, do Goblin. Mm-hmm. So that's why Venom and Goblin get chucked in. But the best part of that film, believe it or not, was from the actual writer
of course,
and director,
yeah,
the and guy, not the studio.
Yeah,
what, exactly. A surprise.
Wow, what a surprise. What a surprise.
Yeah.
No, but he is, and even the CGI at the time, although it's not as, you know, good looking as now, it still looked pretty good for a time, and it's the whole thing where he's reaching for the locket and the machine and all that, and he's the only one who gets a really happy anyway. He just fades off the dust at the end, and I'm like, that's nice. I like that because he wasn't necessarily a bad guy. Mm. He's a okay person doing bad things to get by, and it kind of works. Also, on a side note, James Franco is the worst actor I've ever seen anything. and my point of this is the first scene he appears in Spider-Man 2, he's at Peter Parker's birthday party. He's like, how you doing, Pete? Do you know where the bug is? Do you know where the bug? Why are you predicting the bug, Pete? And it's like, it's like, what the fuck? It's like, you go from a normal guy to being like fucking like upset, and it's the music sting as well, and the way his face goes. It's just the fucking worst stuff. Anyway,
Why are you trying to do a Willem Dafoe impression?
But yeah, I think Sandman is one of those ones that he, well, maybe not if he reappears in Spider-Man No Way Home. We can get a bit of redemption for him. Same as Jamie Foxx Electro, who wasn't a great villain, but however, we could get some redemption for that character in No Way Home, which could be fun. Also, maybe the Lizard as well. But yeah, that's kind of my kind of pick. You guys got anything else in the mix?
Is it me again?
It will be you, Brad. Or we can just throw it to the...
No, I've got one. My next one is from one of the worst, not only one of the worst comic book films of all time, but one of the worst films of all time. X-Men Origins Wolverine, obviously, was a mess, was garbage.
It was.
But the one shining light in that movie was Hugh Jackman's relationship with Liv Schreiber as Sabretooth.
Sabretooth, yeah.
I really like Liv Schreiber, yeah.
That The intro sequence to that film, where it's just day two fight through all the wars, you see him in Civil War, World War II, that's the best part of the film.
God, so much promise. So much promise for the film.
You should have just made that into a movie. Like, just put that over 2 hours, and I watched that and loved it. And then even all through the film, although, like I said, the story's garbage, and also Ryan Reynolds is Deadpool, all that stuff, right? Yeah. But we know what's bad about that film. That is the one kind of shining light. I think that film is their kind of... a bit of banter like brothers have, but they do also hate each other, but they do also kind of deep down care about each other. And it doesn't feel, even though it's two, I don't know, somewhat kind of macho actors, it never feels like cheesy or forced. It feels natural.
I think a big thing about that was that people liked that character so much that there wasn't a James Marigold, Mangold, sorry, even, who was the director of Logan, was planning on having him in that film.
Yeah.
In a cut scene. Where they went to like this weird towny like Ferris wheel thing, and I feel like there's a testament to him being that good a character in an otherwise horrendous and people want to forget to film, which we can't forget it. It's burned inside of our brains. That he, he was good.
But again, you want to talk about like I was saying earlier about Justin Hammer being wasted potential. Liv Schreiber is Sabretooth. Just cast him as that in MCU. Like I wouldn't care. No. I'd take it. Like,
I think
that wasted potential.
The only issue is he's a bit older now.
Yeah, he is. Yeah, he's a bit older now.
I would like to see him in the original costume.
He could be a good Kraven. But then, are we getting that in Taylor Johnson, or is that part of the Sonyverse? Who knows what's happening
with that. That's not even less. It's a whole kettle of fish.
I love it as soon as you mentioned the Sonyverse, I'm just supposed to have fucking...
honestly, it's just, I'm just done with it, man. I don't want to go see fucking Morbius. I'm... Venom 2 looks okay, passable at best. It got pushed back then when Shang-Chi made a bunch of money. Now it's been moved back again.
Yeah. But Bond's going to batter it because it's coming out at the same time.
Bond is absolutely going to fucking shit all over it. Look, Sony are trying their best. And I know, obviously, when that whole lawsuit came in, thing, it's just like, if you're going to make characters, you've got to pick. You can't compete with the MCU.
No.
So you have to go out in your own direction.
Or just work with the MCU like you're doing with Spider-Man. Just let them use Venom and take some money.
Arguably, you want to make money off your properties, license them out to people who know how to make films. That's a good one. I do like Liev Schreiber as Sabretooth. It's a very good pick there, Dan. Chrissy, have you got anything else to add to the discussion?
I've got one. It's kind of out there. I watched it recently. It's he's familiar with the Alien series.
Which one?
Alien
Covenant.
Covenant. I've seen it once when I was drunk.
There's like a kind of cut it like a kind of character that goes through the two of them, and he's called David. He's an android.
Yeah,
Michael Fassbender played by.
Even though in the Covenant one, there were two of them, so like they were seeing each other, like we were like, oh, for fuck's sake, that's too much Fassbender in this movie. But I actually thought he was a good villain, even though like he kind of got an understanding his character growth all the way through it. But that film was just trying too much, man. Like then they go back to like the first film when it was like you couldn't kill the bloody alien. Like the alien was hard to kill. It like when I like Aliens too. When like I can't remember the director. Oh my god, the guy. James Cameron. He made it like Aliens could like an action movie, which I actually thought was a nice take. But he made everybody after that like, the aliens can just die with one bullet. And then the first one, they couldn't kill the thing at all. And it was smart. You know, the alien was smart in the first one. It learned this one, and then it just goes into a whole anarchy with Ridley Scott, which I do love him as a director, but man, I think it's time to just hang up the cape. You know?
He's also a pricky person.
Apparently he has a lot of
that new one that's coming out doesn't look very good either. The Last Duel or something. I don't know if you've seen it about it. It's got Adam Driver and it's about the last days of the knights, I think.
I like the idea of like knights and mythology and stuff like that.
I like Adam Driver, but I'm just like, do I care about Ridley Scott period film? Nah.
No, but what was the Kingdom of Heaven? I loved that. Like, I have to admit, Kingdom of Heaven was a good movie.
Gladiator was his peak. The Martian's pretty great.
Yeah. Oh, wait, is Martian directed by Cameron?
No, we're talking about Ridley Scott.
Oh, Ridley Scott. Fuck. Ridley Scott. My brain just went James Cameron for some reason.
James Cameron hasn't been dead in good since the 80s.
He's, yeah. I forgot The Martian was Ridley Scott even, sorry, fucking.
Do you know something else? Neither Steven Spielberg. Steven Spielberg hasn't been a good movie in the last 20 years. Right? Like, give me a Spielberg classic. Like
AI. No.
Indiana Jones, you know. What was the... he's dropped to that. I thought he was going to direct that, but thank
what, God. Five? Five, yeah.
James Mangold's doing it.
Oh, is he actually?
Yeah.
Oh, he's great at making old people like...
Yeah, like, well, yeah, exactly. Like, just have a dad just swearing at the sidekick, like Patrick Stewart. And,
what are you fucking doing?
Aaron Logan.
Jack, that's why they brought him on, like, thinking they're going to do a Logan, like, we're going to kill him. And it's going to continue off. Do you think that's what it is going to happen?
Maybe.
Oh, man.
I don't think they're going to make a sixth
one.
They will. They're not going to let that franchise die. They'll stuff that guy and wheel out if they have to.
Alison's Bourne's corpse being fucking slick.
Let's be honest, he's probably going to die in a plane crash because of how many he's had. So he'll probably just be this charred corpse now.
I'm counting the days, Dewey!
Just moving his man's skeleton jaw. Like, why do we always go back to this sick humor every time?
Oh, the fucking helicopter crashes and everything. And just, wow. Just, oh, God. Right.
Don't mention the date.
Oh, no. No.
We'll be
cancelled. So, my kind of other one, and we're talking about this, we're talking about James Bond, right? And it is, so, you know, Daniel Craig's Bond films are hit or miss, right? Because Casino Royale is fantastic, right?
Yeah.
Quantum of Solace, not so good. Right? Garbage. Skyfall, pretty good. I like Skyfall. Mm-hmm. However, Spectre, not so good.
It was middle of the road, wasn't it?
Middle of the road, right?
There is a review on the website for Spectre. Ha!
I think it's a bad film in comparison to Daniel Craig's best outings as Bond. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
You know.
We can get a live rating. I'm gonna tell you what I gave it.
And my opinion is that Christoph Waltz as Blofeld is wasted in that film.
Yes.
In my opinion. Because Christoph Waltz is a phenomenal actor, and we've seen what he could do with really bad guys, guys who manipulate people, guys who are the head of big organizations and who want to basically watch the world burn, you know. Mm-hmm. We saw it with Hans Landa and Glorious Bastards, and you know, and I mean obviously I'm comparing Blofeld to a literal Nazi, but it's just, you know, which Ian Fleming would be definitely very proud of if he was still alive. No, but last thing, I think that Blofeld, or whatever he's called, because he didn't get called Blofeld until the end of the film, whatever it was.
It was like Scott or something.
Nah, I can't remember. Yes, I'm your stepbrother, because your father adopted...
That was ridiculous. Cool.
He is a phenomenal actor, and as an actor and as a villain, because Blofeld, actually, classic Bonneville, is completely wasted, in my opinion, in that movie in particular.
I gave that movie a 3 out of 5, and this kind of sums up my review. You know how the scene where he's got Bond strapped to the bed thing, and he's got
I want you to die, Mr. Bond.
He's got the drills going into his head. I've just put that photo with a caption saying it's really weird that this scene takes place in the same universe that saw Bond get smacked in the balls with a rope 2 films ago. Like, Jesus. How have we got to here?
Lashifra
whacking him in the balls with a rope to like amount of electric drills in his brain in some futuristic lab?
That's
like,
what I was saying. Is
what is the tone of these films?
Daniel Craig's Bond being gritty is what it is at its best. Like, even Skyfall has some of the grittiest elements of the series.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like the 2 films that try and make it a wacky, bombastic fucking shootout film that's like a classic one, it doesn't work because it's Craig's Bonds aren't like that, Roger Moore's or Pierce Brosnan's or whatever. It doesn't work.
It's not
like if you're going to make it serious and grounded at least commit to that.
And I think, I don't know how No Time to Die is going to be, because I think it'll make absolute money at the box office, but yeah, whether or not it sticks to the tone of the previous entry of Skyfall, Spectre, where it was a bit bombastic, or it goes to Casino Royale levels of brutality, is, you know, yet to be seen.
This is his last film, isn't it? Like, that's him.
Well, it was supposed to be his last film. Like, yeah, exactly. I said, I'd rather slip my wrist than come back as Bond. Ooh, wait.
How about another 100 million missing
million? Takes? Yes, another 100
million. Okay, sure. Why not? Yes, of course. I'll suck it up.
Yes.
Because I really always think Sean Connery is the best Bond. I watched him when I was young and I was like, okay, you can't beat him. And then it was Pierce Brosnan, and then...
No, you can't beat Sean Connery, but he can beat women, apparently.
Oh, no.
There is nothing wrong with giving a woman a good smack. Like, yes, there is.
Sean Connery's backhand is all about equality. He can beat everyone up he wants.
Aye. I don't want to comment on that.
What a nice guy.
Let it be known that Sean Connery was equal opportunity for beatings.
Jesus. I mean, don't
disrespect the dead on that, but fucking hell, man.
Jesus.
Right, anyway, I think that's us finished with the topic of
I'm surprised. I'm surprised every time he threw his hat onto this coat stand, Moneypenny was like, ah! <he's> like, ah! PTSD.
Well, and with that ends the discussion on the kind of best or good villains in otherwise terrible films. If you guys have any thoughts or discussions of your own, leave them on the comments below, or leave a comment on the Big Glasgow comment page Facebook group, or even the BGCP disassembled Facebook group as well. I realise I'm going full Goldblum here with that talk.
So many people are switching off, man.
Exactly. Like, if we hadn't lost them before, then we've lost them now. But yeah, so with that being said, yeah, if you have your own opinions, please leave them in the comments below, and like it if you think we were right about some of the advanced questions, or dislike it if you think we're terribly wrong, or tell us why we're wrong, because all engagement, it's good engagement.
Yep. Tell us how much you hate us. It doesn't matter.
Exactly. We love it anyway. We'll lap it up. We are sluts for punishment.
Yeah.
Anyway, don't take that in context.
It's like the dragons for Rick and Morty.
Speaking of Rick and Morty, I believe, Dan, you have a review for the season 5 season finale of Rick and Morty.
Well,
or the whole season overall.
Yes, my review was just a review of the series overall. But I wanted to wait. I had it written, most of it, during this season. And I was like, well, I'll wait. And then they said, also, the last episode was going to be delayed. And I thought, well, I'll put it out before the last episode comes out. But then I was like, then it's not really a review of the whole series. It's a review of the first 4 plus, what, how many, however many, 10 episodes of season 5 without the last one or whatever. Mm-hmm. So I just waited till the whole thing was out. So I check out that review, I'll put it in the description below. But the season finale, I don't know if you guys have seen it. First of all, it was a 2-part episode. It was 2 like 20-minute episodes put out the same day to make up like a full hour. The 2 episodes really didn't have to be put out together. I don't understand why they did that. I figured it was going to be, you know, a cliffhanger and then pick up, but all the kind of major setup for the finale took place in the last episode, like the very last episode anyway. So they could have put episode, I think it was 9 or 10, whatever the second last one was, they could have put that out.
That was
weeks ago.
So, fun fact about that one, that was actually written by, I don't know if you guys used to watch College Humor, one of the writers and sketch performers of College Humor called Siobhan Thompson, who is part of, you know, here's a big thing of how big and nerd I am, I watch D&D on the internet, Dungeons & Dragons group called Dimension 20, and she's one of the kind of the core cast members / players in that, and she's very fucking funny. However, I haven't seen the episode yet, so I don't know how good the writing is, and I don't want to say if it was very bad or very good. I like her as an improviser, but I don't know how she is as a writer. I mean, she could be phenomenal. I haven't seen that episode yet, but I mean, Dan, what was that one of the weaker of the two finale episodes?
I felt, right. I mean, don't get me wrong, I don't want to take away, because good for her if she's getting for College Humor. I've never been a fan of College Humor, but if she's managed to get a gig, great, Rick and Morty, good for her. But yeah, I didn't feel it wasn't a terrible episode. It was a middle of the road Rick and Morty episode. Mm. Do you know what I mean? That's all it was. And I was kind of expecting something with a bit more teeth to it. And it just kind of was a general kind of.
That's what this season has suffered a lot with, though, is that a lot of these episodes are written by new staff writers who have come in and haven't really figured out how to make a classic Rick and Morty episode. And what that's resulted in is, like,
a lot of it is, it's like extreme peaks and then not lows, but just and then incest middle babies. Of the road. Just, like, middle of the road. I wouldn't say there's been any terrible episodes this season. It's just, it's either been really good episodes or just...
Are you sure the incest baby one was not?
I really enjoyed that episode.
That is so it's so bad.
I definitely thought it was one of my favorites. I don't care. I laughed really hard at that episode.
I liked the turkey episode a lot. I
didn't enjoy the turkey episode. So I preferred the baby episode.
I really enjoyed the turkey episode. I thought it was so fucking stupid.
It's been touch and go. The last episode itself, they try to obviously kind of be a bit more serious and tie it into lore and stuff and kind of give Rick a backstory and why he is the way he is.
I think that's the issue of this season is that it promised so much in terms of like solving plot hooks and solving plot holes, and it kind of just delivered like a bunch of single individual stories every single episode.
I think I'm in the vast minority when I say I don't give a shit about like the series plot elements of Rick and Morty. I want episodic, wacky, let's just move on to the next thing. I don't go to Rick and Morty for like deep lore. Do you know what I mean? I don't care about callbacks and connections to like season three and season. I was connection, then I just went to season one to the point that they had Rick appear as Stan Lee at the bottom of the screen and be like, for more context, check out season one, episode three. Which was quite funny, but I was also kind of like, oh, well, you guys must realise how much of a fucking stretch that is because you've put that in. Do you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So I'm kind of like.
Also, I was going to say as well that the promotion for this involved Christopher Lloyd.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And the
as real life Rick.
Yeah, yeah, we mentioned that last week.
Yeah, like.
Do you think there's any chance of that becoming a...
One episode, maybe?
I think they've put it out as a tester. I think they're putting it out to see how people react. If people don't like it, they'll just say, oh, it was a promo for the new series, for the finale.
Christopher Lloyd's fucking nuts, so yeah.
But well, that's it. If people receive it well and think, oh, that's cool, that's exciting, I think they might make, as you're saying, just like maybe one episode or three episodes. Or
he, even from the short promo clips, you can see he embodies the energy of Rick Sanchez in his own individual way.
Like the thing is, I really liked the promos. I thought cool and exciting and funny, and that's cool. But they don't feel like the Rick and Morty from the cartoon. They feel like an alternate version, which is fine because that's the point of Rick and Morty. It's multiverse, so no problem with that.
I feel like it works, you know.
I love Christopher Lloyd, so I'd watch him do it. So
exactly, but yeah, also
I think it would maybe be good if it was like 10-minute shots, like if we could do like because he's 82, you know, like maybe figure out how to keep him alive.
He's still good at his job. He's still breaking up.
We'll just do the Harrison Ford method.
Oh god,
get James Mangold to direct it.
Come on, Mr. Ford.
I would watch. Holy shit, I would watch like a dark Logan version of Back to the Future. Imagine that.
Oh my god.
Oh wow.
Morty! Morty! Adopt your kids, Morty! Gonna kill your kids!
Jesus.
Your kids are Nazis, Morty!
Ah, yes, do that, man. Let James Mangold make Back to Shit Show and have 40-year-old Mark McFly going back to fight Nazi kids. I'm older than that, God.
It's about your Parkinson's, Morty! No, sorry, that was too dark.
I got Einstein stuffed, Morty.
Sorry, I'll take that back with the part. I feel bad about that. I put out the internet. No, Parkinson's is a terrible disease, and you should check out the Michael J. Fox Foundation for more information about that. Because you know, PSAs and stuff. But yeah, no, I think this season has been very hit or miss, and I haven't watched the last two episodes, but I will get onto it at some point, and I'll feed back with my opinions at some point with how they went.
Good.
Massive.
Yes.
What is? Oh, I see what's happening. I'm like, why is your mic stand reflecting light, but I was like, why is all lights on your mic stand? But it's the metal parts reflecting
the
light.
Yeah, it's the metal parts reflecting the PC.
That was really messy with me. I'm going like, what the hell is going on there? Apologies for that distraction.
Yes, of course. Yeah, we'll get to get out in the edit. Probably not. Anyway, the next topic after, unless you have any other thoughts on Rick and Morty, Dan. Unless you want to just
season overall was decent. Not the best, but also probably not the worst.
It's pretty good.
The first two seasons, as I mentioned in my review, the first two seasons are by far the best two. But this season might have been the best one under that. Like, I'm maybe saying it was the third best season. It's probably better than the last, than season three, season four. Put it that way.
So we're going to let Chrissy talk for a little bit because he's kind of been sitting here in silence for the past.
No, don't. I'm happy just to kind of chip in when I can.
The kind of next topic that we have to talk about is the new Matrix trailer. Mm-hmm. What the fuck? What's happening to that?
I think it's went down a John Wick route. Like, you don't have like the kind of green glare that it had in the previous couple of movies. Like, it feels like they've just basically took John Wick and shoved him into the Matrix.
Why do you say that? Because of the way he looks, or...?
No, like, it didn't feel, I don't know why, it just didn't feel like a Matrix film. I know it's been like 20 years or something.
I mean, it is missing one of the Wachowskis. Only one that's come back.
One, yeah.
So. I think that, I thought Lily Wachowski's statement, though, was really interesting. Did you read it?
No.
What'd she say?
She basically said the reason she wasn't coming back.
Oh, she was burnt out, wasn't she? That was what it was.
Well, partly because they did, was it Cloud Atlas, and then they did whatever the next film was after that, Jupiter Ascending, and then they did that Sense8, and it was all back to back to back. So she was a bit burnt out, but also this movie, the last time she made a Matrix movie was before she transitioned into a woman. Before both of them transitioned into women. So she said it would be like regressing and stepping backwards into her kind of old self, and she didn't want to do that. And also, their parents died within like a week of each other last year, which is also pretty horrific. I think it was because at first the two of them were on board and they started like discussing ideas and making notes. And then I think both of their parents died. And then I think that also kind of knocked them. And then she was kind of like, I don't know, I might go back to this old version of myself, which I don't know. I think it's a fascinating statement because the Matrix films are weirdly, although no one knew it at the time, an allegory for trans people. And I think that's a fascinating way to rewatch the films, because at the time it was just, oh, cool, kung fu, slow motion kicks. But when you've got that in the back of your head now, I don't know, it gives it a new kind of
like characters like Switch, who I think is like a character who is a male in the Zion reality, and then in the Matrix it is a female.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, like the avatars are female. And, which is it's just interesting concepts, and I feel like anyone who says that there isn't any sort of trans allegory, intended or otherwise, is completely ignorant and wrong, in my opinion.
That's the thing. That is what I kind of love about it. Like, I've no doubt there was a lot of neckbeards that loved the Matrix. Oh,
and then now...
That now are like, oh, but trans, Matrix is shit, right? Like, it's just kind of great, because it's like, I get up here, you don't know what you're talking about.
No, I actually really enjoyed the trailer. I think it's going to be interesting. I think it's going to be interesting to find out how these characters are back. You know, Trinity died, Neo died. Morpheus is now a different actor. Which I think is kind of cool. Which is like, okay, so they really are sticking to the fact that this is maybe a new version of the Matrix,
an alternate universe.
Yeah. that's the thing is that they discussed how in I think it's one of the two sequels, you know, because they were filmed back to back, so they all blend to one.
Yeah.
For me, that Revolutions kind of they all blend to one. The architect discussed how there's been seven other versions of the Matrix.
Mm-hmm.
And this might just be version X, like 10, 11, 12, whatever it is.
Yeah, I mean, that's kind of what I like about The Matrix, and that's what I liked about this trailer. So many other franchises and series are all about, like, the person, like Star Wars, with Rey being Rey Skywalker, and like all that kind of
Luke
shit,
Skywalker,
right?
That shit.
And like also Harry Potter, and like all these other franchises, right? Whereas, one of the most interesting thing about The Matrix to me isn't Neo and Trinity and Morpheus, it's this insane program and the difference between the real world and this world, and all the kind of that to me is more interesting than the kind of main character. And I think this trailer kind of shows that. I think Neo is there and he's obviously kind of pulled back into this world because he's the character that we know and stuff, but
I'm more interested to see how the world's changed outside of just Neil. Do you know what I mean? And I think that's what that's kind of got me excited for. I also really like the fact they've done away with the green tinge. Because one...
Heresy!
I don't think this film is meant to be...
Continuation?
A straight continuation. I think it is to be viewed as there's been a 20-year gap. We're going back to this universe, but it's not a direct sequel to Revelations.
So in the trailer, you do see Trinity and Neo like in like the weird flesh pods and all that shit. Like you see a few frames and stuff like that. So it's nice to know they are acknowledging all that stuff.
Well, there's a brief glimpse of what looks like Neo's body for the end of Revolutions, and he's on like this bed, and the machines are like working on his body, and he's getting burnt out of ice.
There's also Trinity as well, who is like being lifted up by what looks like a machine tendril.
After the spike went through.
And I think it's great. I think that making all these nods to the previous films is great, but having it tie in different ways is a nice and interesting way to do it. And I feel like the Wachowskis are always hit or miss with their work. And I'll be honest, as much as people don't like the Matrix sequels, when you go back and watch them, you know, the trilogy overall as a whole was actually quite good. You know,
I like
some interesting ideas.
I like elements from Reloaded. I struggle with Revolutions a bit, but I do think those films have aged better than what I thought. I think I prefer them now than I did at the time.
I think rare. At the time, it was supposed to be like Year of the Matrix, so the sequels were released in a 6 month release period.
In the same year, which was insane.
The same year.
Yeah.
Which is like, I think it would have they've done them a lot of good if they just got released a year after, like a traditional kind of thing.
But it was that era, like Lord of the Rings had a trilogy back-to-back, and Star Wars was doing the same, and I think it was just that kind of era where they were like, the studio was like, get these out, this is our moneymaker. Like,
I definitely feel there's like strong Force Awakens vibes, though. Like,
well, that's what I was going to say. True. That's my one concern.
Like, they're showing scenes, like the red pill, the blue pill.
Yep. Yeah, there's so many scenes that parallel like, the rabbit tattoo fighting the dojo with Morpheus. There's a lot of comments, and I hope it's not just like
going over old ground
with Star Wars.
Yeah,
but
I hope they do get more people in, because maybe they've lost people for the sequels. They get new people in, start a whole different thing. Neo might not be the guy anymore, but as you said, it goes into a different world.
Yeah.
I wonder though if I don't know if I'm giving the Wachowskis too much credit or Lana Wachowski too much credit, but I wonder if they're doing this on purpose. They're like, they know that Force Awakens was a retread and blah blah, so let's make the trailer look like that.
I mean, the Wachowskis have always been intelligent filmmakers, so
100%. That could be an angle.
I definitely think they're coming, because it's out this year.
Yep.
Is it at the end of the year?
That's the crazy thing. It's the first trailer
first
for it,
trailer,
and
it's
out at the end of the year, and I'm like, fucking what? Like, it's just like, it's completely blinded.
Also, lockdown has changed things, and it's also a part of, I think it's going to the streaming, whatever the streaming service is on, it's going to like day one and stuff, so there's lots of different factors to it.
But I'm excited regardless.
In terms of young Morpheus, do you guys think that as a son or a grandson, or do you think this is, are they going back to the Matrix, even though Neo and Trinity are older, is this before Morpheus gets to be
the
Fishborn Age?
I think it's, this Morpheus is a program.
Right. Oh.
So you know how there's programs in the Matrix, like the Merovingian and all that? Like, there are programs in the Matrix.
He's back.
I think... I've heard it. And also the guy who played one of the original 8-8, the original template for the agents as well, before Hugo Weaving.
The one that's not Hugo Weaving,
not Hugo Weaving. I think that's what it is. It's like, this is like, I think this is a lot longer than we think it is. Like, it's more than 20 years.
Mm.
And I think this is like so down on that, like people like Morpheus have become programs in the Matrix.
Yeah.
Or have become iterations. Either that, or I think it could definitely be like a grandson, or like a you know, something like that as well could definitely be an option.
I heard somewhere like they didn't even contact
Lana Fishburne.
Like that in my mind, I'm like, is that a plea in a sense? Like, is it kidding on? Like, oh, he's actually in the movie, maybe at the end, and he's like, we're not in the
I think either that's that they're trying to hide a cameo, or the fact that he was even contacted, that's going to sound horrible. It's not that I don't like Larry Fishburne, I do.
But it might be a good thing that he wasn't contacted, because then it's not a case of him saying no or being busy and then they had to put this other guy in. They chose to put this other guy in, so there must be a good reason.
The guy, I believe, what's his name is...
He's got three names and it's like something the second. But he was Dr. Manhattan in the Watchmen TV show.
Was he?
Yeah, yeah.
I've still not seen it.
Something
so it's, I think, Yahya Abdul Mateen II.
Yeah.
He was also in Candyman, I believe, as well.
The horror one, the new one that came out.
He was in something else recently as well.
Which I actually seen recently as well, and he's actually pretty good in that film. It's pretty decent. He's a fantastic actor. He's very competent, very good. It was in Us as well.
He is actually
he's a very good actor. He's a Black Mirror as well, I think. It's Draco Vapors. He was fucking best mate.
He was Manta and we're just reading off his IMDb.
He's a fantastic actor.
He's a fantastic actor. I think as Morpheus probably could have picked a better replacement for Larry Fishburne or a new iteration of him.
I think that's more reasonable in the, like, a new program, or like it's been years and this is either before the Matrix's time, Neo's time, or something like that.
What I like about this trailer, as we keep saying, it's out this year. And even after seeing this trailer, we don't really know much about the plot.
It's still super ambiguous.
I think that's great, because that's not often the case nowadays.
Yeah, and they have said on multiple occasions there was previous versions and there was different the ones.
Yeah.
You know?
So this one
just so happened to look like Keanu Reeves.
What's interesting is though they also haven't said whether this is the last Matrix movie or whether they're going to do more sequels after
this. Is this like the Matrix 4, then it'll be like Matrix 5 and 6?
Is this kicking off a new trilogy, or is this the end? Like, they've not said that yet, which is interesting as well.
It's nice, I think it leaves it kind of ambiguous.
Has it got a title? Is it an official title?
It's called Resurrections, which, after Alien Resurrection, isn't the greatest.
The fourth
movie in your franchise being called Resurrections hasn't had a great past, hopefully they can change that, because I'm sure it would be better than Alien 4.
I think they're probably looking at it like maybe building, because the Matrix was kind of the first universe that wasn't explored as much. Now, like, they've looked at Marvel, they're like, okay, we've got a real universe, we can maybe make stuff by ourselves now and take our time with it.
That is another interesting thing about the Matrix. Unlike Star Wars, who said, right, this is canon, this isn't canon.
Everything's canon. The Matrix hasn't done that.
Including
the online game that came out, fucking...
Nobody really played that. I played Enter the Matrix and I played Path of Neo, and they were both great.
Yeah. Well, with that being said, talking about video games, Dan.
Yes.
Such as playing Path of Neo and Enter the Matrix. The PlayStation Showcase event happened a few days ago now, as of recording, and oh boy, we got some interesting games for you, some game news and some new IPs, and old IPs.
Gamey Boys Talking Games.
Gamey Boys, the segment name is Gamey Boys Talking Games.
10 more years, Massimo. Gamey Boys Talking Games forever, Massimo.
Dan.
The showcase that we were waiting for since E3, which was a bit of a letdown, finally got announced at the start of, I think it was about this time last week.
And it was better than E3.
It was better than anything else shown this year, I think, in terms of gaming. So it dropped on Thursday night, and they dropped some bombs.
Absolute bombs.
I've written a recap.
Rattle them off, Dan, and we'll just give it. Do you want to just give a reaction to them?
So I've written a recap article for the show and posted it on the website just this morning, before we started recording. That will be like below, but that's what we're going to go through here. So the first thing showing, Sony were like, listen, we're not here to mess about. Next to the Old Republic, maybe.
What a first drop, man.
Lightsaber that out of the park. Like,
as soon as I seen the lightsaber, I was like, is this... Because I also reported on this rumour, like, months ago. As soon as I seen the lightsaber, I was like, is this...
is this Amy Hennig's Star Wars wait, game? Or wait, is this wait, studio,
Daniel, wait, am I right? Was that right?
did I actually get something right? And yeah, then also you see the face and you're like, ah, I get it. No, that's fine.
So, I mean, obviously, it's actually not a PlayStation 5 exclusive. It's just going to be first on PlayStation.
Yes, well, that is also, I think that's one of the most fascinating things about it. Mm-hmm. The original games, KOTOR 1 and 2, were both Microsoft exclusives.
Yeah.
So this one being a timed PlayStation exclusive, I think, is like... That's a square goal.
You did it 20 years ago, I'll do it fucking better.
It's been developed by Asper and it doesn't have a date, so it's probably quite far out. But
same as Dead Space, the remake, I feel like that one's been had some stuff reviewed for it, but like it's like miles and miles off. Next one, Dan, go for it.
Next one was crazy Japanese hack and slash Bayonetta looking thing called Project Eve. Looks interesting. When I was watching it, I was like, this must be a Platinum game. This has to be a Platinum game. And it's not. So I was like, oh wow, they've just basically played Bayonetta and Nier Automata, website for Nier in the website, review for Nier in the website even. And they've been like, let's just do that combat because that combat's cool. I like the environments. I like the unabashed Japanese madness of this trailer. And it looks really interesting. Monster design looks cool.
Aye. It does. I think it's one of those things of like, you know, new IPs, let's fucking have it.
Yeah.
This one was announced at Summer Games Fest 2021. It was a gameplay reveal of Tiny Tina's Wonderlands, which is a Borderlands spin-off.
Yeah, I was going to say that. It's kind of connected to Borderlands, isn't it?
This was the first game that I was like, oh, I don't care.
I think the Tiny Tina's Borderlands thing, the DLC for 2, I think it was good. I enjoyed it. I think it's a very fun thing. However, a full game of it?
Might be a bit too much to ask.
Could get repetitive quite quickly.
I've never been that into Borderlands, so I don't really care about a spin-off, do you know what I mean? And then along with the fact it's also like a kind of fantasy theme, it's not my thing, and I'm like...
And then
the annoying dialogue in the trailer where she's trying to be funny and quirky, and I'm just like, this is not made for me. The next one looked interesting, though. It was a game called Forspoken, which I don't know if that's the previous announced, but I had never heard anything about it. It's coming from Square Enix's studio Luminous Productions, and it is coming in spring 2022, so we're not having to wait too long for this one. The one that the girl kind of gets taken through a portal, and she's in like a kind of some sort of ancient world, but she can do all this crazy shit with like particles, and I think she can fly or at least glide, and it just looks like an awesome kind of open world adventure.
It kind of reminds me of Shadow of the Colossus mixed with Assassin's Creed.
Well, what I liked about it was the kind of blend of genres and the blend of environments, because the start of that trailer starts off extremely different to the end of the trailer.
I
like that because that's very, I mean, I'm obviously a Mad Kojima fan, and that's what he does. He blends all his genres, so I'm up for that, man. I'm into that. I go for that.
There you go. Again, I think, was it the next one you kind of have mentioned here, Dan, is more Rainbow Six Siege. Or Extraction, or whatever it is.
Yeah, Rainbow Six Extraction. And my kind of summary article that my recap, I just wrote, it's more Rainbow Six. There's really not much more to say.
Yeah.
If you like Extraction, Rainbow Six Siege, then you'll be into this. But
yeah,
it's
not my thing. So that gets a huh?
Yeah, I don't care. But the next one is interesting. This is another remake. This is a remaster of Alan Wake.
I liked that game when it came out.
The original was great. I played it on PC. I actually thought it was available on PlayStation, but I was corrected in the BGCB chat. This is the first time it's been available on PlayStation, so that's interesting. And again, it kind of seems like PlayStation being like, this is going to be your exclusive now. It was just before and we're having it. So I like that. I like when it's kind of, it feels like a competition, do you know what I mean? Because it should.
Yeah, exactly, yeah. It should be, you know.
That's how we get better games.
Yeah.
Because it goes back to what it was. Like, it was like they were battling with getting exclusives from Xbox and PS3 were like trying to get exclusives again. Now it's kind of turned with the Star Wars thing. So it's like, all right, Xbox, you need to catch up, mate. Like, come on.
The next thing that's just pissed me off. Not only is Rock that this is how I've reviewed this one. Not only have Rockstar have the gall to bring GTA to three console generations in a row and still try and act like it's a big deal, but they also have the cheek to delay it. Instead of coming out this year in November, it's now coming out in March next year.
Why? Can we just get
GTA? I don't want another fucking master.
I like GTA 5. I like that game when it came out. I liked that it in the subsequent 6 years it's been out.
Exactly.
That was my under the trailer I've wrote. I love Rockstar and I love GTA 5, but I could not care less about yet exactly. Remaster.
I've already got it on fucking like two things.
Do you want to know how bad it is? Right, I was watching the showcase with Courtney. And she's obviously very casual getting into gaming, like she'll kind of hears about it through me. And even when I was too lucky, what even she went again. I was like, well, there you go. There's something that's not that into it. That's even she's going again. Really, like, yeah.
Honestly, that is the tagline of fucking GTA 5. Again,
again.
As it's turning to Skyrim at this point, man.
It's almost there.
Although the next one looked cool. See, that's the thing about this conference. Every kind of trailer had a cool one to follow.
Which is what you wanted from something like E3, though.
Uh-huh.
Like, that's what you wanted, yeah, exactly.
Yeah. This was Ghostwire Tokyo, which is from the studio Tango Games, who Yuji Shinkawa works with, who is... Sorry, not Yuji Shinkawa, that's the artist for Metal Gear. Shinji Mikami, who is responsible for the original Resident Evil games and lots of other classics. Yes, Ghostwire Tokyo is a weird, trippy, first-person, futuristic horror game set in Tokyo where you can do magic and there's these weird alien robot things, ghost things you're fighting, and I just, again, the blend of genres looks really interesting.
Did this not get announced a wee while back? This is the first trailer we got for it.
Oh yeah, this was announced. Yeah. This was announced before the PS5. This was announced at the PlayStation reveal of the PS5. I think it did get delayed. Interestingly, this is also a Bethesda game. This is a carryover from the Bethesda before Xbox bought Bethesda. So this and another one we're going to mention that's out next week are both Bethesda games. So yeah, that's interesting. Having a Bethesda game at the PlayStation showcase when Xbox now own Bethesda, that's also an interesting kind of
the boss, man. The boss on
something here. I'm looking forward to that. The next one, I'm curious to hear you guys' opinions on this. This was originally announced at the Square Enix live stream during E3. It's the Guardians of the Galaxy game, which got another trailer. I was hoping this trailer was going to win me over. The first trailer didn't kind of blow me away. I wasn't into the voice acting. I wasn't really into the design of the characters. I wasn't into the tone that they were going for. It felt like Diet James Gunn. It felt like, oh, we can't get James Gunn, but let's just rip him off. And I was hoping this trailer was going to change my mind, and I'm still kind of in the same place about it.
See what I'm looking at? It looks exactly the same as, you know, the Avengers game that came out.
Yeah, that's my what.
Yep.
Exact same models.
Well, as a Square Enix, it has been developed by...
That's my issue is that...
Montreal.
If it's more like all, see that if it's more Spider-Man-y and like even to an extent like because it's a big team game, if it's more Ultimate Alliance like,
well,
and it's execution,
you will only play Star-Lord.
I don't get that. Why?
I don't either. Like, why? How come in the Spider-Man game when we didn't really want to play as Mary Jane, we played as Mary Jane, and in this game where we do want to play as Gamora and Drax, we can't.
Groot like, and fucking Rocket, like.
The Ultimate Alliance pool was a good deep dive with
Massimo.
I remember that game. Like,
Ultimate Alliance, I fucking loved Ultimate Alliance too. You can't even really get them now because they're fucking the. There's the whole thing with I think it's Activision. Like you can't get a lot of their games online anymore, so it's like impossible to get it. But Ultimate Alliance too, I have very fond memories of that game. But yeah, I feel like a team based something like that would be great, but it's just resulted in like being like, okay.
I think that whole you can open Star Lord thing, I think that's a defense that they keep hitting out with because everybody's been like, oh well, this is a team game in Avengers.
But that wasn't the issue of with Avengers.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
I think that's the wrong thing they're focusing on. Yeah, is like
totally. I don't know. I don't know.
It's just frustrating, to be honest. But
I'm not interested. Hopefully I'm wrong.
I hope so as well. So right, what's next up on the list?
Next up is another free to play battle royale game.
See, I think this is kind of looks interesting because Vampire the Masquerade is kind of Cool.
Yeah, it's a Vampire Masquerade online free to play battle royale. I don't care at this point about free to play battle royale games. I'm burnt out as hell on them, but sure, why not? Let's do another one. Yeah, and then after that, as the second Bethesda game that was shown at the showcase, Deathloop is coming out just next week.
Yeah, it is.
In fact, 3 days' time. Probably the date this podcast goes up, actually. Yeah,
14th of September.
So that
looks really good, by the way. It's also a PC as well, which is what I'll have. I'll probably pick up.
Where I'm at with Deathloop is, and I say this in the article, see how when a big movie comes out and they release like 6 trailers for it, and by the time you go see the film, you feel like you've kind of seen it because of the trailers.
See,
that's where I'm at with Deathloop.
I've been avoiding the trailers and stuff for it, though, it's like, so I think we've been at that thing of like...
Because, obviously, I watch every conference that comes out, you know, State of Play and all that. Because I watch it all, and I've been watching it all since, like I said, this was also announced, same way Ghostwire Tokyo, this was also announced at the PS5 launch event. Mm-hmm. So that's like, I don't know, like what, a year and a half now, at every single event you see this, but every State of Play through the year, and just I'm just like, I've seen so much yet, I'm kind of burnt out on it before I've even played it. I think a bit of distance will help me with this. I'm not going to get it on release. I'm going to forget about it, and then maybe in 6 months' time when I'm looking for something,
I mean, it's by
I'll be pleasantly surprised by it.
It's by the Dishonored developers as well, Arcane. Yeah. It's going to be good.
Exactly.
I know that for a fact. I want to continue with kind of going off the kind of last two kind of third-party things that could have been released. Is that...
Yeah, I mean, well, the next thing just looks kind of strange. It's a Radiohead exhibition. I'm all for different things being shown on... Like, my whole thing about consoles, I don't think it should just be for games. Like, I know I'm going to sound like the Xbox One E3 thing, but... to 2016. Or for 2013. But, I don't know, man. I like when people are like, let's do some bad shit with this. Let's make a weird, trippy... what's it called? Like...
Exhibition
that is... I don't know, it's interesting.
Yeah, I think it can work.
I mean, I'm a kind of casual Radiohead fan, but sure.
Yeah. The next one is Chia, or...
Oh my god, this was the worst thing shown. What is this shite? What? No, why? I fucking hate cutesy games. Why waste... What a waste of developer talent making this piece of... Who is this for? Like,
it's for the kids, Dan.
No, if you're a kid, you're playing this, you're dating it, right, mate. Go and play Elder Scrolls or something, because this is garbage. Like, nah, mate. I don't care, man. Doesn't matter what age I would never play this even if I was 6, mate. Oh, it's balls. Go away.
Fair enough. Right.
Do you know what it really reminds me of? Like, when Xbox introduced avatars, like the wee avatars you could create.
I know. That's what it's like. It's like, why are you making this look like a Nintendo game? You're better than this.
No,
leave that to Nintendo, who
do that,
make money doing that. Yeah, exactly. You're better than us, PlayStation. Oh. Yeah, so then we went on to the first party games. The first one shown was a remaster of Uncharted 4 and Uncharted Lost Legacy, called Uncharted Legacy of Thieves. Chrissy, just last week when we were on the podcast, I was saying to you, my advice to you, if you're buying a console or something just now, buy a PC. Here's yet another reason.
Because it'll be on PC.
In my opinion, it's
coming
to PC.
Yeah. It's coming to PC. It seems like every exclusive is coming to PC. There's been rumours for a while that Uncharted's been coming to PC. The weird thing about this was it is just Uncharted 4 and Lost Legacy. It's not the Nathan Drake collection.
I think they will release the Nathan Drake collection soon. Mm. After, I feel like it's like... I hope so.
Because it'd be strange to jump in at part 4.
Yeah, I know. In my opinion, is the best one, but Dan, you have other thoughts.
Definitely the second one.
Second one's pretty good. Four's great. I really liked it. I think it is.
Review for Uncharted 4 on the website.
And Lost Legacy is something I've actually got to play. So maybe we'll push me to play that whenever that comes out.
Me too. I pre-ordered Lost Legacy, but I used to pre-order games, and I've not played it. I've just not had a minute.
I'll
get rid of it at some point.
Oh, this is the one that made me.
This is out of nowhere, man.
I did not expect this one whatsoever.
You know, we saw obviously the trailer opens. You see the bar, and you see the back of the guy sitting, and I'm like,
that can't be.
Nah, it's not Wolverine. And then you see the bloody knuckles, and I'm like, what's happening? And then you see the claws, and you're like, oh my god, aye, please. And also, it's been developed by Insomniac.
Yes!
Clearly, they're called Insomniac. I don't think they sleep.
Exactly.
Like, they just dropped a Rift in Time, the last Ratchet and Clank game, which was received
brilliantly.
I've not played it, but it got received really well. So they just dropped that, and they're obviously working on Spider-Man 2, which we'll get to. And also this, it's like, wow.
What I loved was, like, see the end credits, it had the actual comic book Wolverine tech on it. That's why I go really geeky for that. I was like, oh, this is like, they know what they're fucking doing. Like, they're diving into the real character, not just
Obviously, as a concept trailer, it is probably years out. Like, I'm going to expect to see this until 2025 at the earliest. But gets fuck excited, and I'm dying to see what Insomniac do with it. I wonder how they're going to handle, obviously, Spider-Man's open world. How are they going to do that with Wolverine? Is it going to be open world, or is it going to be story based, or are they going to go like rated R, like go with a Logan-esque tone with really violent, or are they going to go with a Spider-Man, the same tone as a Spider-Man game? Like, I'm so curious to see what they do with this.
I think it will be fantastic regardless, because it's fucking Insomniac, and we know.
Yeah, trust them 100%.
They'll be connected though.
I think so. I don't know. I don't think there'll be. I don't think like Spider-Man's going to turn up or anything. But they'll probably have a few Easter eggs that you can find.
I definitely think so.
A Daily Bugle issue line somewhere, or I mean, they'll have
some New York hero. Yeah.
Next up was new Gran Turismo game. I've never really been fussed about racing simulators. I prefer arcade racing games like Need for Speed. But the thing about this trailer was Gran Turismo was always the gold standard for graphics when it came to games. Back in the day, for like PS1, PS2, it used to be the best graphics around was always Gran Turismo. Mm-hmm. And they kind of lost that for a couple of years. Other games kind of caught up. After watching this trailer, I think I was like, wow, they might have regained that title. That trailer looked incredible. The reflections were stunning. The lighting. All I kept thinking was, this must have been an absolute bitch to render. How long that shit takes. It was an incredible trailer. So, I mean, it'll probably be free on PlayStation Plus at some point, in which case I will download it and play it.
Pick up,
but I'm not going to fly out and spend £60 on it.
And here's the second best, well, the third best thing of the fucking the conference.
I saw that come back and go, you thought we were done?
Spider-Man 2, baby!
Laugh in the face of you sleep people. they're making Spider-Man 2. It's starring Venom. It's probably starring Kraven the Hunter as well.
Over the voiceover. Yeah. Possibly playing as both Spider-Men as well. That was a big thing, yeah.
Yeah, Miles Morales is in the trailer, obviously, and well played that DLC and enjoyed Peter Parker, that. So.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely buzzing.
Yeah, 2023 though.
I'm okay with that. I'm fine with that. Take your time. I mean, make it great.
Exactly.
Because they've already got the model with the whole city. Like, I think they're just going to maybe upgrade it. Maybe.
They'll expand on the New York they had. They'll probably use
more of the boroughs and stuff like that and make it bigger and just make it more in depth. Like,
And I can't wait to see Venom being done justice.
Yes.
Do you know what I mean? Because we've got that crap film to suffer through that's coming out. So, yeah.
Oh man, and of course, I think this is the one that really got me going. I got my rocks off to this one.
The last thing in the conference was God of War Ragnarok, which we all expected to see, but it really lived up to the hype, I think.
It's the fact as well underneath it, it's rendered in the PlayStation 5 stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
And this is what it will look like.
Yeah, it looks
amazing.
This is what this
game
will
look like. It looks amazing. Great.
Obviously, the voice actors for the first one are back. Oh, great. Fantastic. We've also got Ryan Hurst from Sons of Anarchy playing Thor, which is awesome.
Someone famous also, or someone relative, is playing Tyr as well. I believe they got a war, the other one.
The giant. What I found interesting about this came with confirmation that this is the end of the Norse series. They're not doing a third game.
I mean, it makes sense, Ragnarok and stuff like that.
I know, but I was expecting an Norse trilogy. The same, also they did a trilogy for the Greeks, so I was expecting a Norse trilogy. But it also made me wonder, where do you go after this? You've done Greek mythology, you've done Norse mythology.
Egypt, right?
Egypt, well, I was actually going to say, what if they did, like, Christian mythology? That would be interesting. Yeah.
You're jumping at the
Assassin's Creed. I don't know if you could have, like, Kratos fighting Jesus, but I would be into that, man. I think that'd be cool. fighting Lucifer, fighting Jesus.
Could you imagine?
God.
Can you imagine that opening scene against Baldur, where it's just Jesus Christ beating Kratos with a crucifix?
I don't know, man. I'd be buying up for that. In this style, like this kind of weird, dark, twisted style, seeing Christianity.
I mean, there's plenty of other mythologies, you know. There's Indian, Hindi even mythology. There's loads of them.
But no, Ragnarok looks awesome.
Yeah, 100%. And yeah, I guess that's all she wrote. I think we're all pretty excited for all the stuff that's coming out.
Did you guys have any what was your favourite announcement? What got you most hyped when you were watching it?
Probably Wolverine. Got me most hyped, but I think God of War, for something that's happening quite soon. Like, Wolverine's far off in the future, but God of War is the one I'm like, oh my God.
Mine was this is going to be the standard answer, but Knights of the Old Republic, that game was absolutely phenomenal when it came out. And I want to know if they're going to go the same way. Is it going to be the same kind of, or is it going to, like, the other Star Wars game? I can't remember what it came out recently.
Jedi Fallen Order.
The Fallen Order, is it going to be like that? Or is it going to be where I sincerely hope not,
because I really didn't enjoy Fallen Order. So I sincerely hope not.
That's the one that got me hyped. What about you, Dan?
What about you, big man?
Well, my biggest kind of hype moment was, holy shit, I got one right! When they showed the KOTOR trailer. But overall, it was probably the 1-2 punch of Wolverine and Spider-Man 2. I was like...
Yeah. Yeah,
it was more just, wow, Insomniac are absolutely killing it. That was my kind of biggest takeaway. I was like, wow, good for them.
I think worthy mentions for me especially would be is just the opportunity to replay Uncharted on a PC will be interesting. Because of how good it will look, you know?
Totally.
Because that game looks stunning anyway. But on PC it'll
be I think the conference did its job, because it's the point of these things is...
To get you hyped.
But what I said last week was, and also I wrote in a Gander the Gaming piece on this, was basically Sony need to bring the big guns here. Because... The PS5 is still incredibly hard to get your hands on.
Exactly.
So, see to make it worth it, like, see to make that horrible refreshing game and refreshing Amazon and all that part of your day, like, to make that worth it, you need to give us something worth chasing. And I feel like they did that. They were like, here, this is why you should buy this extremely rare console for these awesome games. And I'm like, fair enough.
That apparently the CPUs are now overheating because the heat sink shit and all that stuff.
Like, I mean, here's a wee secret. See, by the time any of these games are out, it'll probably be quite easy to get a PS5.
Get one.
That's what I'm doing. But you do what you want. It was a brilliant conference. It's got me hyped for the future of the console, so did its job.
It should be great. That's us finished with the PlayStation conference. I guess the last topic to go on to is to talk about Marvel's Shang-Chi and the Legend of the Ten Rings.
Me and Massimo have seen it. I am working on a review for it right now, which will go up during this coming week. It might be up by the time you see this podcast goes up. I don't know, it might go up before that or after that, the same day. But I really enjoyed it.
Yeah, I thought it was great. I thought it was a self-contained Marvel story that called back to some of the previous films.
How heavy are we going into spoilers, just before I give any more thoughts?
I don't want to spoil it for Chrissy.
I'm happy on you to go. Because I think it's more going into the magic realm.
I'm just going to say it because it's a dummy cynic.
On you go.
Ben Kingsley reappears in this film.
As Trevor Slattery. But it's actually quite funny.
I don't know about MDLs. I didn't know about this going in. Apparently,
I didn't know
anything about this. So it was such a nice surprise in the cinema to see Ben Kingsley. I was like, oh my god, and I was hilarious.
Morris.
His Scouse accent and him and Morris. You can see him too. It was so good. He's still the showman.
And about where he lies down and pretends to be unconscious. So good. It's like, come here, you lie down. Like, it works so well as a comedic foil. Because, like, the movie was funny, but I've seen a lot of people complain about Awkwafina. I liked her. I liked her. I thought she was good.
In general, I think Awkwafina's quite annoying, so I was waiting going in, but I was pleasantly not annoyed by her here.
No, I like her.
You didn't bother me as much. I wouldn't say she was like a stand, I love that character, but I was expecting to go in and be like, oh, this is going to be a pure nightmare, but no, she was fine.
Simu Liu as a leading man is
phenomenal.
Absolutely so charming. Such a, like,
And the fact he does all his own stunts, like some of the acrobatics he pulls off, are astonishing
that's,
to watch.
That's the most fantastic thing about this. This is a proper martial arts film. Yeah, this isn't like your Iron Man 3 where Tony knows like some jiu-jitsu or your quick cuts from some of your Avengers fights. This is like there is cuts and stuff like that, but it's like almost like most of them are one take shots or just the same shot from different camera angles as well that have been cut together.
The whole movie is very, very well shot. A lot of weight, as you're saying, Mass, a lot of wide angle long shots for, for the fight sequences, which is what you want, so you can see what's happening. Also, a really good looking film, a really pretty, beautiful looking film with some of the backgrounds and the colours, and the cinematography was phenomenal. It's the guy that shot The Matrix, actually. Pope.
I think the director is Destin Daniel Cretton.
He done a good job to it.
Yeah, he did fantastic as director. I believe it was like almost all Asian, an Asian director, and all Asian main cast, or mostly Asian main cast, apart from Ben Kingsley. You know, pretty good representation across the board. And it was also the actress who played Shang-Chi's sister. It's her first acting role, I believe.
Oh, that's cool.
Wow.
Do you want to know what I found interesting? I never realised. See, also Shang-Chi's dad, Tony Leung.
Yeah.
It's his first English-speaking acting role. He's such a legendary actor. He was in Hard Boiled with Chow Yun-Fat, and he was in... the original, the movie The Party was based on, Infernal Affairs. I think he was the Leo DiCaprio part in that. So he's been in all these like iconic Hong Kong films. I was like, how is that guy never made the film in English? And also, I just want to say, I know that just sounds like it's coming for a dumb white guy, but see the fact that folk are not able to speak two languages, but able to act in two languages. That's
incredible.
Crazy impressive. Yeah, that's good. Like, imagine not only being able to speak Chinese, but being able to go into a high budget film and give a brilliant performance in Chinese.
Exactly.
Like,
in Mandarin,
that's
or
nuts.
Cantonese. Or whatever,
that's crazy. I thought it was awesome. And Michelle Yeoh, when Michelle Yeoh turned up, I was like, she's looking old. But do you know what? She's still she's got it, man. She did her own stunts, and it is like Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon and stuff. She's not lost it. She's started.
I also thought all of the CG as well was very beautifully put together. Like, it wasn't too jarring, you know? Although I wish the dragon was Fing Fan Foom that shows up.
It did. One thing I will say, it did kind of, like the first half, obviously, there was two sequences that I love. See, the bus
scene
was phenomenal. It was like a mix of speed and...
Razor fist.
There was kind of Jackie Chan elements to that fight as well, outside the bus. And some of the stunts just really reminded me of like kind of early Jackie Chan films. Mm-hmm. And then there was a sequence on a scaffold.
With dropping down and all that. And then Aquafina's screaming Hotel California to try and confuse the guy during the fight. It was fucking great.
I think the funniest line that Aquafina had in the film when she was like, "You changed your name from Sean to Sean.
Sean.
Like, who's stupid are you, mate? That was the funniest line.
I think as well, like, there was a lot of very well-timed stuff where it was like they're on the plane and then he's telling a backstory and then the woman comes over and says, "Beef or chicken?" And I was like, that's fucking funny.
It did take a bit of a turn though. Like the last kind of third of the film, it becomes quite Black Panther-y, I thought, with the kind of mass fight with all the animals involved and a bit supernatural. It was cool. It was a cool ending, and it was a Marvel blockbuster at the cinema, which we've not had in a while, because Black Widow, obviously, that was a kind of spy thriller that was kind of didn't matter as much because we already knew it was going to happen. So this felt like a fresh. And as you were saying earlier, Mass, I think what really worked in its benefit was that it wasn't too heavily connected by... Like, as much as I'm excited for, like, No Way Home and stuff, it's going to... The Spider-Man films are weighed down by the Avengers films, I think, quite a lot.
Quick note as well, obviously we get that appearance by Wong and Abomination, who we do confirm is Emil Blonsky.
Yeah, he calls him Emil, right?
He calls him Emil, and it's a different looking Abomination. Like, he's got the fish fins and all that. Looks pure comic accurate, but it's supposed to be the same character. Which, him with Wong, and then Wong taking him somewhere?
Yeah, they're working together. Yeah.
I'm wondering if that's similar to the whole prison idea that people have heard about from the whole Far From No Way Home stuff, where Doctor Strange is imprisoning people.
Right.
And... like, because where they go, you can see it's like a weird glass cage and all that. Like,
right.
I don't know what it is. Like,
I did wonder that. I was like, what is that through that portal?
That's interesting. And then, spoilers. If you don't mind this, Chrissy, I don't know if
you're
going.
No, no,
you're going. We get our post-credit scene with Captain Marvel, Brie Larson, Bruce Banner, and also Wong as well, as they explain that when Shang-Chi used the Ten Rings, it sent out a beacon.
Oh, right, okay.
Like when he uses the rings, to come and help or come and like there's a power here, because they say that we don't know where these artifacts are from. Like it doesn't match any of the sorcerer's records,
and it's because the dad had them for so long.
So long, yeah. And it's
that's what was really interesting.
My main question in that scene though, how come Bruce Banner looks like Bruce Banner?
That's what I thought as well. Not the Professor Hulk.
Chrissy, seen that scene? It's not Big Green Hulk with glasses.
It's Bruce Banner with a broken arm.
It's Mark Ruffalo with his arm in a sling.
What?
Yeah.
Oh, that's a setup for something. You're going to see something in fucking Doctor Strange or something. Then there has to be, if he's got a sling on.
How is he back to? He's got the sling on for the snap because he did the snap. Remember to bring it
back.
That's why his arm's in a sling. But why is he
Bruce Banner?
Why is he normal then? Because he couldn't go back because he refused the two of them. Yeah. Oh, that's interesting.
Weird. I mean, I think the next time we're going to see him is in the She-Hulk TV series.
Yeah.
So they'll probably give an explanation on that, I would imagine.
Yeah, but there's so much. And I also think it was, and the fact that I think was it one of the presidents of Marvel, the distribution was like, oh, this is just an experiment.
Mm-hmm.
And then like Simu Liu and like all that were like, we're not a fucking experiment. This is a film. And it fucking absolutely destroyed the fucking Labor Day weekend like records and all that in the US.
It's basically, everybody thought that, what was that Chris Nolan film that wasn't? Tenet. Everybody thought that Tenet was going to like save cinema, like give cinemas back, put bums in seats and bring in the money. This film did it. I think this is the first film since lockdown that people have really been like,
it's such a fun film as well.
This film has kind of saved cinema in 2021, I think.
Yeah. I think, yeah. It's definitely worth a watch, Chrissy, as well, even though we've spoiled some aspects of it. It doesn't really take away from
it. Don't get me wrong, like I feel like I've been really gushing about it. It's not a perfect film, and in my review, I will give it some criticisms, as I do.
But I think it's the first Marvel film back from the hell that has been the past year and a half. It is the perfect film to get back in, a nice palate cleanser. And arguably, I forgot about Eternals and become mainly obsessed with Shang-Chi. Eternals will be fun, but,
I think it will be. I hope the Eternals are something totally different, though. Do you know what I mean, for this? I hope that No Way Home is something totally different. I don't want... These three films are coming out very close to each other. I don't want them to be similar. I like the idea of Shang-Chi just being a fresh, fun, kung fu blockbuster. Eternals being a bit of a kind of more
cosmic,
deeper story. And then No Way Home obviously being nostalgia, Spider-Man, Avengers stuff. Like, I'm fine with the three of them being very different. I hope they are.
So I'd probably, if I was to give it out of a rating out of a 10, it'd probably be like a strong 8, I think, in my opinion.
Say that's where I'm at. I mean, I'll decide for sure when I'm doing my review, but at the minute, that's where I'm sitting.
So I believe that is us kind of finished with all of the kind of major talking points for this week's episodes. Unless there's anything you guys want to add before we kind of close out.
No, man, I'm happy. Good to have you back, Mass. And,
I know. Right.
It was nice to do, we kind of decided before, and this week we weren't going to touch on loads of different news pieces. It was nice to just kind of break it up into like different discussions. I don't know how we're going to title this episode because it was like a scattershot episode, but I enjoyed that one.
I mean, I think we're trying out some new things with the podcast to see how it works with format, and maybe this might be the way forward, but just pick a discussion topic. Anyway, so thank you.
Will next week's topic be the opposite of this week? Will it be...
We'll talk about that after. We'll probably put out a poll for that one, especially just so, because it's interesting to see audience ones on that one, because it's easier to find ones for this week's topic.
There's a shout. Leave your good villains and bad movies down in the comments.
So with that being said, thank you so much for listening, everyone. I've been Massimo. I've been joined by Dan and Chrissy. And you can find us on Twitter at BGCP Comic Con, on Facebook, also Big Glasgow Comic page, I believe on Instagram as well, BGCP Comic Con as well. And you can also find the podcast group as well, which is at BGCP Disassembled on Facebook. If you guys have your own thoughts and opinions on all of the discussion topics we've talked about today, please leave them in the comments below. And even if you think we're wrong about stuff, leave the comments. All exposure is good exposure. So, really appreciate you guys listening. And if you're still here, have a great week, have a good day, and see you on the next page.
Like and subscribe.
Bye-bye. Like and subscribe. Notifications.
Thank you for listening to Disassembled. You can find more news and reviews on BigGlasgowComicPage.com. And don't forget, you can also find us on Instagram, Twitter, and YouTube as BGCPComicCon. Make sure you also subscribe on the podcast provider of choice for new episodes every week.